broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Great to have you with us. A lot going on today. The House of Representatives are getting ready to debate this massive $2 trillion coronavirus spending bill. Every single Republican in the Senate voted for this thing, and it's a pretty massive document. A lot of money going to fund causes that are near and dear to the hearts of the Democrats, and it's very unsettling and very troubling. But we're going to be hard pressed to find many Republicans up on Capitol Hill that are willing to stand up and fight this nonsense. But you do need to call your elected representatives and let them know what you think about this. And we have posted the telephone number on our live show blog at toddstarnes.com. And I would encourage you to take advantage of that. Now, we also have posted some amazing video. Now, call screener Avery, you found this video online. This was on the TikTok, is that right?
Yes, I found it was posted originally on TikTok, but then I found it on Twitter.
Now, I want you to describe to people what we're about to hear.
Okay, so what we're about to hear, you know, doctors and nurses have been working around the clock everywhere in this country and the world. And so what you're about to hear right now is from Atlanta, Georgia, where it's just people in apartment buildings who are just cheering on these nurses and doctors after they are changing shifts. And it's just people just roaring in the streets, and you can just hear them giving them praises.
So these are the high rises of Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
Medical personnel changing their changing shifts. Let's take a listen to what happened. That's pretty awesome. That, you know what? That ought to bring a smile to your face. There are just good-natured people. You can hear it echoing down the concrete canyons of Atlanta, Georgia. That's pretty awesome. By the way, you know what else? You know what else brings a smile to my face? A Southern Baptist pastor who plays the accordion. And on the Newsmaker line, America's favorite accordion player, Dr. Robert Jeffers.
Oh, as my mentor Lawrence Welk used to say, wonderful, wonderful.
You know, we played this for Governor Huckabee earlier in the show, and he had no idea that you played the accordion. This is a very well-kept secret.
I am going to wait by my phone for an invitation on his show to play. I was just up there a few weeks ago. I need to return to play.
What a brilliant idea. That would be pretty awesome.
He needs to have me on. But, yeah, you know, I tell people my accordion playing is like Halley's Comet. You're only going to see it once every 50 years. But, I was here at home. We're in lockdown here in Dallas, and we're trying to keep our church encouraged. So I thought it'd be fun just to take out my accordion and play. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. There's nothing that chases the coronavirus away like good old accordion music.
This is true. And, you know, as a good Southern Baptist who grew up singing that song in Sunday school, I was shouting out where every, you know, during the pause. So I did my due diligence.
You did your part. That kind of reminds me, you know, the definition of an optimist is an accordion player with a beeper. So, you know, we don't get all the respect we should get.
You know, Dr. Jeffers, this has really been an interesting time for a lot of churches and synagogues and mosques, I guess, across America, people not able to go to church. I know you guys already had a huge online church community. How is it going there at First Baptist Dallas?
Well, we thought we had a huge online gathering. We used to have, you know, about 40,000 people who would tune in online with us each week, which made us one of the largest. This last Sunday, Todd, we had over 200,000.
Is that
who
right?
Watched online. Wow. So, I mean, it was huge, tremendous response, tremendous opportunity to minister. And we're really developing our online strategy to reach even more people in the weeks ahead.
How is the congregation doing? What are you hearing from church members who, like yourself, have, you know, been quarantined for, you know, 14 days?
You know, they are in great spirits. Last night, our choir, and you know our choir leader, Tyler Brinson, he had about 250 of his choir join in online for a virtual choir practice. And so it was an interesting experience. And all of our groups are staying engaged by social media. We had prayer meeting last night via Zoom. And I think it's forcing us to be more creative. And when this virus passes, and it will pass at some point, I think the church is going to be stronger. I think churches will be more adept at social media and learn how to use it better to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So long term, I'm very optimistic.
You know, I think it was so encouraging to hear the president talking about Easter Sunday. Wouldn't it be great that, you know, if we could, you know, get back to, you know, I wouldn't say normal life, but move on. And I know we got a lot of blowback from the mainstream media over that, probably more so that he mentioned the word Easter, I think, than anything else.
Well, you know, first of all, I don't know, and I know what the president's saying. If it's safe, that's what he would like to do. He's listening to the health experts, and he would never want to endanger people's lives if it's safe. But, you know, whether or not that happens, I'm grateful for a president like Donald Trump who believes that worship is just as essential to American life as work is. Both are essentials, and he'd like to see both opened up as soon as possible, and I think that's great.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think the president has been trying to really combat the constant fear-mongering that's been in the media. A couple of days ago, we were talking about this on the radio, on the show. You've got, what, hours and hours of just, you know, gloom and doom, and then the president's press briefing comes on, and just he's just so optimistic. I mean, he's talking about the problems, but we're looking at solutions, and honestly, you can just feel your blood pressure going down and your anxiety level coming down as you hear the president talking to the nation.
That's right, and I think people of faith, Christians, are certainly encouraged that both the president and the vice president have not been hesitant at all to call on God for help during this coronavirus crisis. You know, the president said in his declaration a couple of weeks ago that in times past, times of crises, Americans have turned to God in prayer, and we need to do so now. I think that gives great comfort and also gives great hope to people.
I'm with you. And honestly, we've had so much fun when someone, I think Tyler Brinson, Pastor Brinson, sent me that video of you.
I wondered who I was going to have to fire for doing that. Thank you for outing him.
You just smile, and it was just so refreshing and enlightening. And again, it's I just appreciate that you can just bring a little bit of happiness to people. You know, we had some girls from Memphis, Tennessee. They rewrote one of the ABBA songs. I'm not a big ABBA fan, but, you know, instead of Dancing Queen, they were, what did they call it, to Avery? The COVID Queens?
The COVID Queens, yes.
COVID Queens, yes. So I think I'd rather go with the accordion, to be perfectly honest.
Well, this is bringing to light hidden talents. You don't take your talent and bury it. You need to use it. Some people want me to bury mine, though, Todd.
No. All right, so we're going to make this happen. We've got to get you on Governor Huckabee's show. I mean, this would be a great night.
Let's get a petition going for Mike to get Pastor Jeffers on.
I love it. Okay,
I could join his band. I would love to do that.
That's great. You know, Dr. Jeffers, before we let you go, we had another pastor on last week, and I know this. I'm kind of doing this off the cuff, but would you mind just maybe offering a prayer for the nation and for our listeners for the next few moments?
I'd love to. Let's bow together. Father, we thank you for your words of encouragement that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. And although this has taken us by surprise, it's not taken you by surprise. We acknowledge that you're the creator of the entire universe. we ask you for your mercy and help in our time of need right now. And Father, we thank you that you're in control of this situation. And Father, I pray for anyone listening to this program who may not have that assurance that they're going to meet you one day in heaven, that they might come to turn to Christ for forgiveness of sins and know that they're going to be welcomed in your presence forever. We pray for our doctors, our first responders, our medical technicians, Father, that you would be extra gracious to them during this crisis and help this to work together for good, to turn our hearts back to you. And we pray this in the name of the one who came and died and rose again, that we might have eternal life, Jesus our Lord. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Dr. Jeffers, thank you again. And best of luck to all you guys there at the First Baptist Church.
Great to talk to you, Todd. Thank you.
All right. Great man right there, ladies and gentlemen. And he's a good man. And we appreciate Dr. Jeffers coming on and talking politics and talking religion and even playing the accordion. It just, you know, again, it's giving all of us a different perspective on things. And we've got some more clever musical tributes that we're going to be playing in the next couple of days. And maybe you might see one, you might hear of something, drop us a note, and we'll be happy to share that with our radio audience. And by the way, if you want to watch that video of the folks cheering the medical workers in Atlanta, Avery has posted that on the live show blog, which you can access at toddstearns.com. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Stearns.
Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What are you doing? What are you doing to pass the time? How are you handling? How are you dealing with your cabin fever? Do you have any ideas, any suggestions? Have you taken up a new hobby? Have you maybe read a good book, seen a good movie? Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free, coronavirus-free hotline. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstearns.com, and we've got a lot of great stuff over there. I mean, the team has been working overtime. You got to check out call screener Avery's new story that just got posted this morning on the Waffle House. That was a good story, Kate, Avery.
Thank you. Yes, it was a very interesting story, and I know some of our listeners might not know what Waffle House is, and Waffle House is like a little bit of a dine-in, sort of like old-fashioned, kind of like diner setting for just breakfast items.
I think you mean Dynasty. That's what Waffle
Dynasty.
House is.
Okay, that's fair. That's more accurate. It's great. It's one of the best fast food, like, breakfast places ever.
It really is. And it's sort of a, you know, you never know what's going to happen at a Waffle House.
You really know? Don't. The last time I was there, something was going on. And I'm honestly just thankful that I got out without getting involved.
You never know what's going to happen at the Waffle House, but you always know that you will leave in a better mood than when you went into the Waffle House.
It's pretty the true. Grease. It's the lubricant. It's like holy oil. It really is. Scattered, covered, and smothered.
Yep.
That's it. I just like mine scattered. I don't like the smothered or the covered.
I like the smothered and covered, and I like to go ketchup on the hash browns as well.
Is that right?
Yes, yes.
You know, a lot of people don't realize this, but Waffle House has very good chili.
I've never had their chili. I didn't know they had chili.
They do have chili, and it is very good. And shockingly, guys, I'm just curious, have any of you actually ever had a waffle at the Waffle House?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've had a waffle. But
I get every time.
But I tend to go with the dinner food. I tend to go with, like, the cheesesteak melts and stuff like that.
I love their burgers. I'm just a big burger guy.
I have never gotten anything but a waffle at Waffle House.
Really?
I mean, I get, like, my order at Waffle House is a waffle with hash browns, and bacon and toast, and that is it.
There was they were real big with the raisin toast at Waffle House.
Yes,
if they
were.
Believe. Mm-hmm. That's like
still
a big
are,
thing.
I do believe.
And of course, back in the day, and this I need to qualify this. Back in the day, if you're looking at like dining, and you don't want to have like different levels, but you know, if you were you have like Waffle House, and then a few notches below that, you had the Huddle House.
Yeah. Huddle House is still good, but I mean,
it's store brand Waffle House.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the RC Cola.
But the Huddle House, there's a Huddle House that we went to in Cleveland, Georgia, which is not too far from you guys.
Oh, yeah, I know where that is.
That is a fine, that is like, I would, dare I say this, I think that was better than the Waffle House.
Wow.
That Huddle House.
Wow. I've been to that Huddle House once in my life, and it was pretty good.
When we did the big Mike Huckabee, we did the big Faith and Freedom celebration at Truett McConnell University. It was late night. We hadn't eaten. And so the whole crew, we took the whole crew over to the Huddle House. And, you know, the place was packed because that's the only place open at that time of night. And of course, all the college kids were over there. So we ended up, the kids were really great. And so we ended up, I think, buying everybody's meal.
Wow.
So we just told the waitress, just grab everybody's checks and we'll foot the bill. And that was a fun time, though. We had a good visit there. But all that to say, in Memphis, Tennessee, there's a great Waffle House there. And there was one of the waitresses. Her name was Big Sexy. And that was a pretty wild Waffle House.
That's the most Waffle House waitress name I've ever heard.
Exactly. It's, you know, and a years ago, I forget what kind of a story I was doing, Caleb, but we were I had to stop off. The only thing in town was a Waffle House, and I remember this guy coming in, and he was one of these biker guys, and you could tell he was kind of in a bad mood, but he was packing heat, and they got his eggs wrong. Like, he wanted like fried eggs and they came back scrambled, and so then they come back again and it was like over easy.
That's how nuclear war starts.
I'm like, for the love of God, man, just scramble the eggs. What's wrong with you?
All of the most entertaining like restaurant or business fights I have ever seen in terms of videos have come from a Waffle House. Every single one of them.
Something's either going down at the Waffle House or the Walmart, especially after midnight.
I think it was here in Georgia, but there was one time where somebody tried to rob a Waffle House with a pitchfork. I think that was in Georgia.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he tried to rob a Waffle House with a pitchfork.
I guess it could work. I don't know. Usually, most Waffle Houses, they may have rules and regulations now, but, you know, typically back in the day, the Waffle House employees would actually be packing.
You know, I'm sure they still are.
Yeah, got to. You got the fry cook. He'll take you out. So you just, ma'am, I'll have whatever you want me to have. Just let me live, please. No, all that to say, we love Waffle House and Huddle House. So they do not advertise, so they're not required to say that. But anyway, all that to say, check out Avery's story. It's a great story over at ToddStarns.com. We sort of let that one get away from us there, guys. My apologies. Hey, our good friend Matt Schlapp from American Conservative Union, CPAC, he's going to be hanging out with us in a few minutes, plus your calls as well. What are you doing? How are you surviving cabin fever? 844-747-8868. Again, that's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Stern's radio program. Let's get right to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend of this show, Matt Schlapp from American Conservative Union. Matt, how's it going out there?
Todd, how are you doing, more importantly?
Well, you know, we're just under house arrest in Brooklyn, New York. What are you going to do, Matt?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm in house arrest, and I have been really since CPAC with my five kids and my wonderful wife and my two dogs, and I think they're getting tired of me.
Yeah, I think the whole country is. And Matt, I got to tell you, if nothing else, I think the president of the United States comes out of all of this just with so much more respect from the average American. 60% approval rating from Gallup. And every American in the country gets to see what this mainstream media is all about with these ridiculous questions they've been throwing at this guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got this media culture, which everything Trump does is a lie. Everything he says, they need to attack. They've attacked him for being racist by stopping flights from China. And now they're attacking him for not making bold early decisions, which caused an outbreak of the coronavirus. Like, they can't even decide what line of questions or charges they want to stay on. Yeah, I do think I would say another 10 to 20% of the American people finally have figured it out that, you know, Donald Trump is a big, vibrant, amazing personality. And there can be parts about his personality that you might not be a big favorite of, but you can realize that he's very bright, that he works very hard, and that he has our best interests at heart.
Oh, I think he does. And I think that comes through at every one of these press briefings when, you know, he's just telling folks, hey, here's what's going on. We want to get people back to work. And I think the American people respect that. And, you know, we want to be prudent. But the reality is, and I think we all understand this, Matt, we can't stay in our homes forever. We're going to kill the country.
And I don't think it's really a political question, but I do think there's a difference in philosophy here. Like, I know every day when I leave the front door that I'm taking calculated risks. And sometimes I'm not even thinking about the risks. Sometimes I answer my phone when I'm driving. Sometimes I get distracted while I'm driving. I've even crossed the street sending someone a text. And of course, when it comes to my health, I'm sure we've all done things that the doctor has said, you know, it'd be better if you didn't do that, like have a Snickers bar or whatever the thing is. And so in life, you take risks. And as an adult and as a conservative, really, as an American, you understand that you get to make those choices for your life. And I think one of the smartest things the president has done in the last several days is give people the hope that this is going to come to an end. And he'll probably have to overrule some doctors when he makes this decision. And he's going to have a big confrontation with a lot of governors and mayors, especially who are liberals, who have literally chain-linked tennis courts and golf courses and parks. They're all of a sudden on this bandwagon of shutting everything down very late in this, when I think most of the American people are saying, you know what, if you're sick, if you're old, if you have corona, if you have weakness in your immune system, you probably do need to stay away from people. But the rest of the healthy people, those who have already had it, those who have tested negative, it's pretty soon here, it's time to open everything back up and get this economy rolling before it's too late.
Yeah, I'm with you. But, you know, I was going down the checklist of things that have been happening in this country, where you have Democrat lawmakers that are trying to shut down gun stores. They're telling businesses, if you don't shut down your non-essential business, we're going to turn your lights and power out. You got the mayor of Chicago saying if you go out to exercise, you could be arrested. The churches that are literally being shut down, ordered to shut down in Virginia and Illinois. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the attack on civil liberties in the name of public safety.
It's disgusting. As a matter of fact, the tennis courts, I have two tennis courts behind our home in a public park, and they chain link the gate, but there's two Americans out there who's probably climbed over the top of the fence, and they're hitting the tennis ball. By the way, on the tennis court, you don't get much closer than 20 yards from each other, so I don't see why. I just feel like we can't lose our humanity and our desire to live an interesting life just because, you know, we have this vicious flu that's out there. I think the president's taken prudent measures to see if quarantining and distancing can work for a period of time. But I think it would be a big mistake for us to do this for months and months and months, because it'll be almost impossible for us to get back what we had, which was the world's leading economy.
Matt, I love what you wrote on Twitter. We've been railing on this coronavirus package, a financial package, and the amount of money going to places like the National Endowment for the Arts and the Kennedy Center. And you came up with a clever idea.
Yeah, I mean, instead of look, I think Congress needs to act, and I think Congress needs to act because people, through no fault of their own, have been told by the government that they have to shutter their businesses, and it's resulted in lots of furloughs and layoffs and people getting fired. And I have a godson who I'm talking to every day who's in this position. It's frightening when you're trying to raise a family. So I think the government took away economic liberty, and they have to come up with a settlement with the American people for that liberty they took away. So they have to act, but then, of course, there's so much to hate in the bill because Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the rest, they had to lard it up with a bunch of crap. And I think what it teaches the American people is there's a real consequence when you don't come out and vote, when you only vote for the presidency, when you only vote for Donald Trump, and you don't vote for good senators and congressmen. This is what we get. And my challenge to David Rubenstein, who's the chairman of the Kennedy Center Board of Trustees, is when you get your $25 million, turn around and give it to a charity that's helping people, or turn it back and send it back to the taxpayers. I mean, this man is a billionaire himself. He doesn't need this money. The Kennedy Center, by the way, Todd, you've driven by it. It's a pretty fancy joint. They're going to do just fine with all their foundation grants. They don't need Joe Lunch Bucket's money to say that they're preparing for the coronavirus. And it's not just the Kennedy Center. As you said, it's PBS. It's the National Endowment for the Arts. It's all of these entities that use this emergency as an opportunity to hog it up at the public trough. And it's a real disgrace.
They shut down Junior's, the cheesecake joint, here in my Brooklyn neighborhood, Matt Schlapp. I mean, these godless.
Yeah, Junior's. I bet Junior's didn't get any aid in this package.
No, you better believe
they did. In the end, we have to do right by the small businesses that, through no fault of their own, might go out of business.
That's right.
I think, Todd, your role needs to be going forward, and I hope my role, too, is responsible voices. You know, let's back the president when he finally says, okay, we've taken all the basic precautions we possibly can. We've done the risk analysis. You're never going to get rid of risk. There's always a chance you can catch the flu. There's always a chance you could catch corona. But we're going to have to open this economy back up. And I hope that a lot of us will back him when he decides to do that, because he's going to be fighting your local mayor.
Or
the governor, who is going to be using every opportunity to make this bad politics for Donald Trump. Turn this into Donald Trump's Katrina, or as we said at CPAC, conservative corona, because they want to make this about Trump and not about just trying to protect people's health.
That is a great word. Matt, we're going to have to leave it there. You guys be safe out there. Looking forward to hopefully seeing you at Junior's one of these days.
You got a deal, man. I'll get a double.
All right. Matt Schlapp, ladies and gentlemen, hanging out with, like all the rest of us, doing our 14 days in house arrest. And he's absolutely right. Absolutely right. There is going to be a war when the president says, you know what, folks, it's time to get back to work. I guarantee you, watch what's going to happen. And I can promise you this. We're going to be on the front lines fighting side by side with our president. And I hope all you guys are as well. Hey, look, we've got to take a quick break here. Kaylee McEnany coming up next.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back into the show. Great to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. Let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Our good friend Kaylee McEnany joins us. Kaylee, it's been a while, and I know things have been a bit crazy with what's been happening in the country right now, but politics of the day goes on.
Yes, it does. You know, this is an important time where America should be coming together. But unfortunately, Democrats are still up to their same games. You have Joe Biden hosting these shadow briefings, taking shots at the president from his basement. You have Democrats on the Hill delaying for days much-needed legislation that the American people need to get economic relief. And you have Nancy Pelosi out there politicizing this as well. So it doesn't matter what corner you look in. There's a Democrat who's really kind of making light of the issues the American people are facing by dragging through the mud the needed relief that the American people need.
You know, it really is just reprehensible the way the Democrats have literally played politics here, holding the nation hostage, holding American working class families hostage, holding small businesses hostage so they can get this Christmas list of cash to their pet projects. And I really do hope the American people remember what these Democrats did in the middle of a national emergency.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's important to note they were trying to shove through their Green New Deal in this legislation. They were trying to shove through money for public broadcasting, all kinds of different Democrat wish list items. I mean, and it's worth mentioning that there was a deal, that Democrats and Republicans had been at a point of agreement, and all of a sudden, you know, Sunday or Monday night, it all blew up. And the votes weren't there after Rand Paul had to quarantine because of the coronavirus and a few other Republicans did. So the votes were there, the bipartisanship was there, and then Nancy Pelosi and Chuck came to town.
I got to tell you, Kaylee, I know that, look, you work for the president on the campaign team there as the national press secretary. But so I know you might be skewed in your opinion here, but what I've been seeing happen in the White House press corps is repulsive. And the questions and the tone and the tenor of those questions being directed at the president, I don't know how the president I don't know how he does it. He has the patience of Job from the Old Testament.
It's absolutely true. Look, you know, the White House press corps, you know, we routinely have it take issue with some of their fake news headlines, the way they attacked Sarah Sanders and then attacked the president and all of the things they've done throughout the course of this presidency. But I'd say now more than ever before, it's particularly bad because Americans are looking to their media to try to get information at a time when they're really searching for answers on the coronavirus. And instead, you have outlets like CNN and MSNBC turning off the president's briefings. And the president is standing there surrounded by medical experts like Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, and these people who really have solutions for the American people. But because the president's skyrocketing in the polls, gets 60% approval from Gallup on his handling of this response, they're shutting him out. They don't care about getting good information to their viewers. They care about attacking the president from those White House press corps seats, self-aggrandizing their own ambitions, and then depriving the American people of the information they desperately need.
So tonight, there's going to be an exciting event, and I know a lot of folks have the cabin fever, so you guys ought to have a great turnout online for this this big Women for Trump event tonight. I wanted to tell everybody what's going to be happening.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's our first real digital town hall, if you will. So, you know, we have been operating digitally and training volunteers and making phone calls and reaching out to the supporters of the president, but tonight it'll be Laura Trump, myself, and Chris Carr, our political director. We'll be updating you on the status of the campaign. We'll be sharing our thoughts from the campaign's perspective as to what we've seen play out from Joe Biden and the Democrats. We'll be exposing the fake news. So we hope everyone will tune in. It'll be a really great event. We worked really hard on this, and it's at 7 p.m. tonight. You can RSVP on DonaldJTrump.com.
All right, this is Women for Trump. Can guys participate? Are we allowed to hang out?
100%. Everyone and anyone is welcome. Women for Trump is hosting it, but there will be information for all. So absolutely, we encourage everyone to tune in.
All right. And I see Laura Trump's going to be there. You're going to be there. It's going to be a fun, fun crowd.
Yeah, it'll be a fun crowd. We're very excited about this. So as you said, we've all been like cooped up, you know, either in self-quarantine or abiding by the president's guidelines, voluntarily doing so. So it'll be a good outlet to connect with our supporters, talk to the voters we so desperately love at a time when, you know, we don't have rallies and don't get to physically be there with you all.
It's a great idea. All right. Women for Trump live tonight. Big digital town hall. Folks, it's going to be a lot of fun. We have the links to the event in our live show blog at ToddStearns.com if you want to check that out. Kaylee, great to hear from you. I hope you and your family are safe during this this crisis.
Thanks, Todd. You as well.
You know, Caleb, Avery, I mean, you guys are, I know you're looking for future Mrs. Mrs. Caleb and Mrs. Avery, that this might be the place.
There you go. Although it is going to be a little, this is another thing, too. And as single guys, we can attest to this. Boy, dating is going to be a lot more difficult during all this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Definitely a lot harder.
Well, cheaper though, I guess. You don't have to buy the girl a dinner or flowers or anything. Well,
but could still do that. What if you order her a takeout meal?
There you go.
Leave it on her doorstep with some flowers and a nice note.
Come with like a bag over your head, so you're not
a bag over your head. You put a mask on. Bag over your head.
What?
I don't know where that was going. But I mean you can still do some things.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. There will definitely still be money spent.
Have you ever taken a date to the Waffle House?
I have not.
Heck no.
I don't think I have.
That's not first date status. That's like when you know you've locked her down. That's when you go.
Wait, you've locked her down?
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. I'm writing this. This is call screener Avery, all you feminists out there.
Oh, no.
So when you lock down the relationship, so at what point in the relationship do you take the girl to the Waffle House?
I would say probably the fifth date or maybe after 3 months.
Here's the way I'll phrase it. What comes first, Waffle House or I love you? What comes first?
Oh, that's a really hard question. Well, I mean, is
it I think I love you comes before Waffle House.
I think so, but then wouldn't also taking your date to Waffle House, based on what we have said so far, wouldn't that technically testify to being I love you as well?
I mean, I love Waffle House, but that doesn't mean I love the girl. I mean,
That's true.
I love a lot of things.
I mean, what if you, like, put the ring in the scattered, covered, and smothered?
See, that's not...
Well, then she's just going to eat it, because what you do at Waffle House is you just shovel the food in your mouth and you're not thinking.
And then
the
ring's going to be all greasy and she's going to be not mad. A good move.
That's a bad call. So what is a first date place there in Gainesville?
First date?
Go get it. This is going to sound relatively low class, but I like Chili's a lot. I'm a big Chili's fan.
I have a friend who used to date a girl, and that was the first date that they went on, was going to Chili's. But first date, how am I trying to say this? First date criteria, there we go, is like, going to like a restaurant and then maybe going for a hike or something like that. Actually, like, just getting to know the person.
Well, I'm a fat guy, so I'm not going to go on a hike, but I'll go to a movie.
It's like granola? Is that what Avery, you feed your date granola?
I like granola, but
trail mix.
But see, like, you go hike, work up an appetite, then you can go to the Waffle House.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. But that's Waffle House is still, like, fifth date or, like, third month of dating type of restaurant you go to.
If it's open. DEFCON 2. DEFCON 2, ladies and gentlemen. That's what Governor Huckabee says. All right. Well, look, we've made it through another day of quarantine together. This has been a lot of fun. Great to have Jerry the Liberal back with us. And you know what? We need Joe from LJ. He's over at Sea Island somewhere. That's where he evacuated to. Hey, we're going to have a great, great show tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. ToddStearns.com, folks, be sure to check that out. Get out there. Have a great day. Well, in your house.